2 Kings chapter 1. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Ahaziah fell down through the lattice in his upper room that was in Samaria and was sick. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go, inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I will recover of this sickness." But Yahweh's angel said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messenger of the king of Samaria and tell him, 'It is because there is no god in Israel that you go down to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron.' Now therefore, Yahweh says, 'You will not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you will surely die.'" Then Elijah departed. The messenger returned to him, and he said to him, "Why is it that you have returned?" They said to him, "A man came to meet us and said to us, 'Go, return to the king who sent you, and tell him, Yahweh says, is it because there is no god in Israel that you sent to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you will not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you will surely die.'" He said to him, "What kind of man was he who came up to meet you and told you these words?" They answered him, "He was a hairy man, and wearing a leather belt around his waist." He said, "It's Elijah, the Tishbite." Then the king sent a captain of 50 with his 50 to him. He went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on the top of a hill. He said to him, "Man of God, the king has said, 'Come down.'" Elijah answered to the captain of the 50, "If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from the sky and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from the sky and consumed him and his 50. Again he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. He answered him, "Man of God, the king has said, 'Come down quickly.'" Elijah answered him, "If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from the sky and consume you and your 50. Then God's fire came down from the sky and consumed him and his 50. Again he sent the captain of a third 50 with his 50. The third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and begged him and said to him, "Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 of your servants be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from the sky and consumed the last two captains of 50 with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight." Yahweh's angel said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Don't be afraid of him." Then he arose and went down with him to the king. He said to him, "Yahweh says, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you will not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you will surely die." So he died according to Yahweh's word which Elijah had spoken. Jeroboam began to reign in his place in the second year of Jeroboam, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? 2 Kings chapter 2. When Yahweh was about to take Elijah up by the whirlwind into heaven, Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elijah, "Please wait here, for Yahweh has sent me as far as Bethel." Elijah said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?" He said, "Yes, I know. Hold your peace." Elijah said to him, "Elijah, please wait here, for Yahweh has sent me to Jericho." He said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came near to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?" He answered, "Yes, I know. Hold your peace." Elijah said to him, "Please wait here, for Yahweh has sent me to the Jordan." He said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." Then they both went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, and they both stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that they both went over on dry ground. When they had gone over, Elijah said to Elijah, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." Elijah said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be on me." He said, "You have asked for a hard thing. If you see me when I am taken from you, it will be so for you. But if not, it will not be so." As they continued on and talked, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah saw it and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." He saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up Elijah's mantle that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took Elijah's mantle that fell from him, and struck the waters, and said, "Where is Yahweh, the God of Elijah?" When he also had struck the waters, they were divided apart, and Elijah went over. When the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho facing him saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah." They came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. They said to him, "See now, there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and seek your master. Perhaps Yahweh's spirit has taken him up and put him on some mountain or into some valley." He said, "Don't send them." When they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but didn't find him. They came back to him when he stayed at Jericho, and said to them, "Didn't I tell you, don't go?" The men of the city said to Elijah, "Behold, please, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my lord sees, but the water is bad, and the land is barren." He said, "Bring me a new jar," and he put salt in it, and they brought it to him. He went out to the spring of waters and threw salt into it and said, "Yahweh says, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from there any more death or barren wasteland." So the waters were healed to this day, according to Elijah's word which he had spoken. He went up from there to Bethel. As he was going up by the way, some youths came out of the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you baldy, go up, you baldy." He looked behind him and saw them, and cursed them in Yahweh's name. Then two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of these youths. He went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. 2 Kings chapter 3. Now Jeroboam the son of Ahab began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the pillar of Baal that his father has made. Nevertheless, he held to the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. He didn't depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he supplied the king of Israel with 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But when Ahab was dead, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. He went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me against Moab to battle?" He said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" Jehoram answered, "The way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched for 7 days along a circuitous route. There was no water for the army or for the animals that followed them. The king of Israel said, "Alas, for Yahweh has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Isn't there a prophet of Yahweh here that we may inquire of Yahweh by him?" One of the king of Israel's servants answered, "Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on the hands of Elijah, is here." Jehoshaphat said, "Yahweh's word is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elijah said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother." The king of Israel said to him, "No, for Yahweh has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Elijah said, "As Yahweh of armies lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I respected the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward you, nor see you. But now, bring me a musician." When the musician played, Yahweh's hands came on him. He said, "Yahweh says, make this valley full of trenches. For Yahweh says, you will not see wind, neither will you see rain, yet the valley will be filled with water. And you will drink, both you and your livestock and your other animals. This is an easy thing in Yahweh's sight. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. You shall strike every fortified city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all springs of waters, and mar every good piece of land with stones. In the morning, about the time of offering the sacrifice, behold, water came by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Now when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, they gathered themselves together, all who were able to put on armor, young and old, and stood on the border. They rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone on the water, and the Moabites saw the water opposite them as red as blood. They said, "This is blood. The kings are surely destroyed, and they have struck each other. Now therefore, Moab, to the plunder." When they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and struck the Moabites, so that they fled before them. And they went forward into the land, attacking the Moabites. They beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land each man cast a stone and filled it. They also stopped all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees, until in Kir Haresh they left its stones. However, the men armed with slings went around it and attacked it. When the king of Moabite saw that the battle was too severe for him, he took with him 700 men who drew a sword to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him for a burnt offering on the wall. There was a great wrath against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared Yahweh. Now the creditor has come to take for himself my two children to be slaves." Elijah said to her, "What should I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow empty containers from all your neighbors. Don't borrow just a few containers. Go in and shut the door on you and on your sons, and pour oil into all those containers, and set aside those which are full." So she went from him and shut the door on herself and on her sons. They brought the containers to her, and she poured oil. When the containers were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another container." He said to her, "There isn't another container." Then the oil stopped flowing. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." On the day Elijah went to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat bread. So it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. She said to her husband, "See now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by us continually. Please let us make a little room on the roof. Let's set a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp stand there for him. When he comes to us, he can stay there." One day he came there, and he went to the room and lay there. He said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite." When he had called her, she stood before him. He said to him, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have cared for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? Would you like to be spoken for to the king or to the captains of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." He said, "What then is to be done for her?" Gehazi answered, "Most certainly she has no son, and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the door. He said, "At this season next year, you will embrace a son." She said, "No, my lord, you man of God, do not lie to your servant." The woman conceived and bore a son at that season, when the time came around, as Elijah had said to her. When the child was grown, one day he went out to his father to the reapers. He said to his father, My head. He said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee until noon, and then died. She went up and laid him on the man of God's bed, and shut the door on him, and went out. She called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again." He said, Why would you want to go to him today? It's not a new moon or a Sabbath." She said, "It's all right." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Don't slow down for me unless I ask you to." So she went on and came to the man of God to the Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her far off, he said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and ask her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" She answered, "It is well." When she came back to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet. Gehazi came near to thrust her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and Yahweh has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask you for a son, my lord? Didn't I say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and go your way. If you meet any man, don't greet him, and if anyone greets you, don't answer him again. Then lay my staff on the child's face. The child's mother says, as Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went ahead of him and laid the staff on the child's face, but there was no voice and no hearing. Therefore he returned to meet him and told him, the child has not awakened. When Elijah had come into the house, behold, the child was dead and lying on his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door on them both and prayed to Yahweh. He went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. He stretched himself on him and the child's flesh grew warm. Then he returned and walked into the house once back and forth, then went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. When she had come into him, he said, take up your son. Then she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Elijah came again to Gilgal. There was a famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said to his servants, get the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. One went out into the field to gather herbs and saw a wild vine, and gathered a lap full of wild gourds from it, and came and cut them up into the pot of stew, for they didn't recognize him. So they poured out for the men to eat. As they were eating some of the stew, they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. But he said, then bring meal. He threw it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. A man of Baal Salish came and brought the man of God some bread of his first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elijah said, give it to the people that they may eat. His servant said, what, should I set this before 100 men? But he said, give it to the people that they may eat, for Yahweh says, they will eat and will have some left over. So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to Yahweh's word. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the kings of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him Yahweh had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel. A little girl, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would heal him of his leprosy. Someone went and told his lord, saying, the girl who is from the land of Israel said this. The king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter has come to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel had read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends to me to heal a man of his leprosy? But please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. It was so, when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of Yahweh his God, and wave his hands over the place, and heal the leper. Aren't Arbon and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. His servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, see now, I know that there is no God in all earth but in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, As Yahweh lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. He urged him to take, but he refused. Naaman said, If not, then please let two mules load of earth be given to your servant, for your servant will from now on offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice to other gods, but to Yahweh. In this thing may Yahweh pardon your servant, when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, may Yahweh pardon your servant in this thing. He said to him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared this Naaman the Syrian, in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. As Yahweh lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw one running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? He said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of clothing. Naaman said, Be pleased to take two talents. He urged him, and bound two talents of silver in two bags, with two changes of clothing, and laid them on two of his servants, and they carried them before him. When he came to the hill, he took them from their hand, and stored them in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. Elijah said to him, Where did you come from, Gehazi? He said, Your servant went nowhere. He said to him, Didn't my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and cattle and male servants and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman will cling to you and your offspring forever. He went out of his presence a leper, as white as snow. 2 Kings chapter 6. The sons of the prophet said to Elijah, See now, the place where we live and meet with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and each man take a beam from there, and let's make us a place there, where we may live. He answered, Go. One said, Please be pleased to go with your servants. He answered, I will go. So he went with them. When they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. Then he cried out and said, Alas, my master, for it was borrowed. The man of God asked, Where did it fall? He showed him the place. He cut down a stick and threw it in there and made the iron flow. He said, Take it. So he put out his hand and took it. Now the king of Syria was at war against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants, saying, My camp will be in such and such a place. The man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, Beware that you not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God had told him, and warned him off, and saved himself there not once or twice. The king of Syria's heart was very troubled about this. He called his servants and said to them, Won't you show me which of us is for the king of Israel? One of his servants said, No, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. He said, Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. He was told, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses, chariots, and a great army there. They came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. His servant said to him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? He answered, Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elijah prayed and said, Yahweh, please open his eyes that he may see. Yahweh opened the young man's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elijah. When they came down to him, Elijah prayed to Yahweh and said, Please strike this people with blindness. He struck them with blindness according to Elijah's word. Elijah said to them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. He led them to Samaria. When they had come into Samaria, Elijah said, Yahweh, open these men's eyes that they may see. Yahweh opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the middle of Samaria. The king of Israel said to Elijah, when he saw them, My father, shall I strike them? Shall I strike them? He answered, You shall not strike them. Would you strike those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink, then go to their master. He prepared a great feast for them. After they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria stopped raiding the land of Israel. After this, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria. Behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cob of dove dung for 5 pieces of silver. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." He said, "If Yahweh doesn't help you, where could I get help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" Then the king asked her, "What is your problem?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her the next day, 'Give up your son that we may eat him.' And she had hidden her son." When the king heard these words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth underneath on his body. Then he said, "God do so to me, and more also, if the head of Elijah, the son of Shaphat, stays on him today." But Elijah was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. Then the king sent a man from before him. But before the messengers came to him, he said to the elders, "Do you see how the son of a murderer has sent to take away my head? Behold, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold the door shut against him. Isn't the sound of his master's feet behind him?" While he was still talking with them, behold, the messenger came down. Then he said, "Behold, this evil is from Yahweh. Why should I wait for Yahweh any longer?" 2 Kings chapter 7. Elijah said, "Hear Yahweh's word. Yahweh says, 'Tomorrow at this time, a seah of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria.'" Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if Yahweh made windows in heaven, could this thing be done?" He said, "Behold, you will see it with your eyes, but will not eat of it." Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate. They said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say, 'We will enter into the city,' then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. If we sit here, we also die. Now therefore, come, and let's surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we will live, and if they kill us, we will only die." They rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. When they had come to the outermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, no man was there, for the Lord had made the army of the Syrians to hear the sounds of chariots and the sounds of horses, even the noise of a great army. And they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and ate and drank, and then carried away silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid it. Then they came back and entered into another tent, and carried things from there also, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We aren't doing right. Today is a day of good news, and we keep silent. If we wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they came and called the city gatekeepers, and they told him, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, not even a man's voice, but the horses tied, and the donkeys tied, and the tents are as they were." Then the gatekeeper called out and told the king's household within. The king arose in the night and said to his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city.'" One of his servants answered, "Please let some people take 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are like all the multitude of Israel who are left in it. Behold, they are like all the multitude of Israel who are consumed. Let's send and see." Therefore they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them out to the Syrian army, saying, "Go and see." They went after them to the Jordan, and behold, all the path was full of garment and equipment which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king, "The people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to Yahweh's word." The king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to be in charge of the gate, and the people trampled over him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spoke with the king when the king came down to him. It happened as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, Two seahs of barley for a shekel, and a seah of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that captain answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if Yahweh made windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, you will see it with your eyes, but will not eat of it. It happened like that to him, for the people trampled over him in the gate, and he died. 2 Kings chapter 8. Now Elijah had spoken to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go, you and your household, and stay for a while wherever you can, for Yahweh has called for a famine. It will also come to the land for 7 years. The woman arose and did according to the man of God's word. She went with her household and lived in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines. Then she went out to beg the king for her house and for her land. Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Please tell me all the great things that Elijah has done. As he was telling the king how he had restored to life him who was dead, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life begged the king for her house and for her land. Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elijah restored to life. When the king asked the woman, and she told him, so the king appointed to her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Elijah came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. He was told, The man of God has come here. The king said to Hazael, Take a present in your hand, and go and meet the man of God, and inquire of Yahweh by him, saying, Will I recover from this sickness? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him, and said, Your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, Will I recover from the sickness? Elijah said to him, Go tell him, you will surely recover. However, Yahweh has shown me that he will surely die. He settled his gaze steadfastly on him until he was ashamed. Then the man of God wept. Hazael said, Why do you weep, my lord? He answered, Because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. You will set their strongholds on fire, and you will kill their young men with the sword, and will dash their little ones in pieces, and rip up their pregnant woman. Hazael said, But what is your servant who is but a dog that he should do this great thing? Elijah said, Yahweh has shown me that you will be king over Syria. Then he departed from Elijah and came to his master, who said to him, What did Elijah say to you? He answered, He told me that you will surely recover. On the next day he took a thick cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it over the king's face, so that he died. Then Hazael reigned in his place. In the 5th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, being king of Judah, then, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did Ahab's house, for he married Ahab's daughter. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. However, Yahweh would not destroy Judah for David, his servant's sake, as he promised him, to give him a lamp for his children always. In his days, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. Then Joram crossed over to Zer and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and struck the Edomites who surrounded him with the captains of the chariots, and the people fled to their tents. So Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah to this day. Then Libnah revolted at the same time. The rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Joram slept with his fathers, and was buried with his father in David's city, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his place. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. He walked in the ways of Ahab's house, and did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, as did Ahab's house, for he was the son-in-law of Ahab's house. He went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. King Joram returned to be healed in Jezreel from the wounds which the Syrians had given him in Ramoth, when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. Ahaza, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. 2 Kings chapter 9. Elijah the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, "Put your belt on your waist, take this vial of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. When you come there, find Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his brothers, and take him to an inner room. Then take the vial of oil, and pour it on his head, and say, 'Yahweh says, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then open the door, flee, and don't wait." So the young man, the young prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. When he came, behold, the captain of the army was sitting. Then he said, "I have a message for you, captain." Jehu said, "To which one of us?" He said, "To you, O captain." He arose and went into the house. Then he poured the oil on his head and said to him, "Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, I have anointed you king over the people of Yahweh, even over Israel. You must strike your master Ahab's house, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh, at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab will perish. I will cut off from Ahab everyone who urinates against the wall, both him who is shut up and him who is left at large in Israel. I will make Ahab's house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. The dogs will eat Jezebel on the plot of ground of Jezreel, and there shall be no one to bury her." Then he opened the door and fled. When Jehu came out to the servants of his lord, and one said to him, "Is all well? Why did this madman come to you?" He said to him, "You know the man and how he talks." They said, "That is a lie. Tell us now." He said to me, "Yahweh says, I have anointed you king over Israel." Then they hurried, and each man took his cloak and put it under him on the top of the stairs, and blew the trumpet, saying, "Jehu is king." So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram was defending Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. Jehu said, "If this is your thinking, then let no one escape and go out of the city to go and tell it in Jezreel." So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. Ahaza, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now the watchman was standing at the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came, and said, "I see a company." Joram said, "Take a horseman and send to meet them, and say to them, 'Is it peace?'" So one went on horseback to meet him and said, "The king says, 'Is it peace?'" Jehu said, "What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me." The watchman said, "The messenger came to them, but he isn't coming back." Then he sent out a second on horseback who came to them and said, "The king says, 'Is it peace?'" Jehu answered, "What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me." The watchman said, "He came to them and isn't coming back. The driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously." Joram said, "Get ready." They got his chariot ready. Then Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaza, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out to meet Jehu, and found him on Naboth, the Jezreel's land. When Joram saw Jehu, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" He answered, "What peace, so long as the prostitution of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft abound?" Joram turned his hand and fled, and said to Ahaza, "This is treason, Ahaza." Jehu drew his bow with his full strength, and struck Joram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar, his captain, "Pick him up and throw him in the plot of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how, when you and I rode together after Ahab his father, Yahweh laid this burden on me. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says Yahweh, and I will repay you in this plot of ground, says Yahweh. Now therefore take and cast him onto the plot of ground according to Yahweh's word." But when Ahaza, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. Jehu followed after him and said, "Strike him also in the chariot." They struck him at the ascent of Gar, which was by Ibleam. He fled to Megiddo and died there. His servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his tomb with his fathers in David's city. In the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, Ahaz began to reign over Judah. When Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out at the window. As Jehu entered in the gate, she said, "Do you come in peace, Zimri, you murderer of your master?" He lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked out at him. He said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. Then he trampled her underfoot. When he had come in, he ate and drank. Then he said, "See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is the king's daughter." They went out to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him. He said, "This is Yahweh's word which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'The dogs will eat the flesh of Jezebel on the plot of Jezreel, and the body of Jezebel will be as dung on the surface of the field of Jezreel's land, so that they won't say, this is.'" 2 Kings chapter 10. Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. Jehu wrote letters and sent them to Samaria, to the rulers of Jezreel, even the elders, and to those who brought up Ahab's sons, saying, "Now as soon as this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you, and you have chariots and horses, a fortified city also, and armor, select the best and fittest of your master's sons, set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house." But they were exceedingly afraid and said, "Behold, the two kings didn't stand before him. How then shall we stand? He who was over the household, and he who was over the city, the elders also, and those who raised the children, sent to Jehu, saying, 'We are your servants, and will do all that you ask us. We will not make any man king. You do that which is good in your eyes.'" Then he wrote a letter the second time to them, saying, "If you are on my side, and if you will listen to my voice, take the heads of the men who are your master's sons, and come to me to Jezreel, by tomorrow this time." Now the king's sons, being 70 persons, were with the great men of the city, who brought them up. When the letter came to them, they took the king's sons and killed them, even 70 people, and put their heads in baskets and sent them to him in Jezreel. A messenger came and told him, "They have brought the heads of the king's sons." He said, "Lay them in two heaps by the entrance of the gates until morning." In the morning he went out and stood and said to all the people, "You are righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master and killed him. But who killed all these? Know now that nothing will fall to the earth of Yahweh's word, which Yahweh spoke concerning Ahab's house. For Yahweh has done that which he spoke by his servant Elijah. So Jehu struck all that remained of Ahab's house in Jezreel, with all his great men, his familiar friends, and his priests, until he left him no one remaining. He arose and departed and went to Samaria. As he was at the shearing house of the shepherds on the way, Jehu met with the brothers of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are you?" They answered, "We are the brothers of Ahaziah. We are going down to greet the children of the king and the children of the queen." He said, "Take them alive." They took them alive and killed them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men. He didn't leave any of them. When he had departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. He greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart right, as my heart is with your heart?" Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it is, give me your hand." He gave him his hand, and he took him up into the chariot. He said, "Come with me and see my zeal for Yahweh." So they made him ride in his chariot. When he came to Samaria, he struck all who remained to Ahab in Samaria, until he had destroyed them, according to Yahweh's word which he spoke to Elijah. Jehu gathered all the people together and said to them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu will serve him much. Now therefore call to me all the prophets of Baal, all of his worshippers, and all of his priests. Let no one be absent, for I have a great sacrifice to Baal. Whoever is absent, he shall not live." But Jehu did deceptively, intending to destroy the worshippers of Baal. Jehu said, "Sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal." So they proclaimed it. Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not one man left that didn't come. They came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was filled from one end to another. He said to him who kept the wardrobe, "Bring out robes for all these worshippers of Baal." So he brought robes out to them, Jehu went with Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal. Then he said to the worshippers of Baal, "Search and see that none of the servants of Yahweh are here with you, but only the worshippers of Baal." So they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had appointed for himself 80 men outside, and said, "If any of the men whom I bring into your hands escape, he who lets him go, his life shall be for the life of him." As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offerings, Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, "Go in and kill them. Let no one escape." So they struck them with the edge of the sword. The guard and the captains threw the bodies out and went to the inner shrine of the house of Baal. They brought out the pillars that were in the house of Baal and burned them. They broke down the pillars of Baal and broke down the house of Baal and made it a latrine to this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. However, Jehu didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. The golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan, Yahweh said to Jehu, "Because you have done well in executing that which is right in my eyes, and have done to Ahab's house according to all that was in my heart, your descendants shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation." But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of Yahweh, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin. In those days, Yahweh began to cut away parts of Israel, and Hazael struck them in all the borders of Israel, from the Jordan eastward, all the lands of Gilead, the Gadites, and the Reubenites, and the Manassites, from Aor, which is by the valley of the Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, and all that he did, and all his might, aren't they written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his place. The time that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. 2 Kings chapter 11. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahijah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal offspring. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaza, took Joash, the son of Ahaza, and stole him away from among the king's sons, who were slain, even him and his nurse, and put them in the bedroom. And they hid them from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. He was with her hidden in Yahweh's house 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. In the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the captains over hundreds of the Carvites and of the guard, and brought them to him into Yahweh's house. And he made a covenant with them, and made a covenant with them in Yahweh's house, and showed them the king's son. He commanded him, saying, "This is what you must do. A third of you who come in on the Sabbath shall be keepers of the watch over the king's house. A third of you shall be at the gate Seir, and a third of you at the gate behind the guard. So you shall keep watch of the house, and be a barrier. The two companies of you, even all who go out on the Sabbath, shall keep the watch of Yahweh's house around the king. You shall surround the king, every man with his weapon in his hand, and he who comes within the ranks, let him be slain. But be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in." The captains over hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded, and they each took his men, those who were to come in on the Sabbath, with those who were to go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. The priest delivered to the captains over hundreds the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in Yahweh's house. The guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, along the altar and the house, around the king. Then he brought out the king's son, and put the crown on him, and gave him the covenant, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise of the guards and of the people, she came to the people into Yahweh's house. And she looked, and behold, the king stood by the pillar, as the tradition was, with the captains and the trumpets by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds who were set over the army, and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks. Kill anyone who follows her with the sword." For the priest said, "Don't let her be slain in Yahweh's house." So they seized her, and she went by the way of the horse's entry to the king's house, and she was slain there. Jehoiada made a covenant between Yahweh and the king and the people, that they should be Yahweh's people. Also between the king and the people, all the people of the land went to the house of Baal and broke it down. They broke his altars and his images in pieces thoroughly, and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. The priest appointed officers over Yahweh's house. He took the captains, over hundreds, and the chariots, and the guard, and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from Yahweh's house, and came by way of the gate to the guard to the king's house. He sat on the throne of the king, so all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. They had slain Athaliah with the sword at the king's house. Jehoiada was 7 years old when he began to reign. 2 Kings chapter 12. Jehoash began to reign in the 7th year of Jehu, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Jehoash did that which was right in Yahweh's eyes all of his days, in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Jehoash said to the priest, "All the money of the holy things that is brought into Yahweh's house, in current money, the money of the people for whom each man is evaluated, and all the money that comes into any man's heart to bring to Yahweh's house, let the priest take it to them, each man from his donor, and they shall repair the damage to the house, wherever any damage is found." But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the damage to the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest, and for the other priest, and said to them, "Why aren't you repairing the damage to the house? Now therefore take no money from your treasurers, but deliver it for repairs to the damage to the house." The priest consented that they should take no more money from the people, and not repair the damage to the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest, and bored a hole in its lid, and set it beside the altar, on the right side, as one comes into Yahweh's house. And the priest who kept the threshold put all the money that was brought into Yahweh's house into it. When they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came in. They put it in bags and counted the money that was found in Yahweh's house. They gave the money that was weighed out into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of Yahweh's house, and they paid it out to the carpenters and the builders who worked on Yahweh's house, and to the masons and to the stonecutters, and for buying timber and cut stone to repair the damage to Yahweh's house, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. But there was not made for Yahweh's house cups of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into Yahweh's house, for they gave that to those who did the work and repaired Yahweh's house with it. Moreover, they didn't demand any accounting from the men into whose hands they delivered the money to give it to those who did the work, for they dealt faithfully. The money for the trespass offering and the money for the sin offering was not brought into Yahweh's house. It was the priest. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the holy things that Jehoshaphat and Joram and Abhaza, his father, king of Judah, had dedicated, and his own holy things, and all the gold that was found in the treasure of Yahweh's house, and of the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? His servants arose and made a conspiracy, and struck Jehoash at the house of Milo, on the way that goes down to Silla. For Jozachar, the son of Shemiah, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servant, struck him, and he died, and they buried him with his fathers in David's city. And Amasa, his son, reigned in his place. 2 Kings chapter 13. In the 23rd year of Josh, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel and Samaria for 17 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. He didn't depart from it. Yahweh's anger burned against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, continually. Jehoahaz begged Yahweh, and Yahweh listened to him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, how the king of Syria oppressed them. Yahweh gave Israel a savior, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel lived in their tents as before. Nevertheless, they didn't depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel to sin, but walked in them, and the Asherah also remained in Samaria. For he didn't leave to Joahaz of the people any more than 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria destroyed them and made them like the dust in threshing. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did and his might, aren't they written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Josh his son reigned in his place. In the 37th year of Josh, king of Judah, Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, began to reign over Israel in Samaria for 16 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart from all the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin, but he walked in them. Now the rest of the acts of Joash, and all he did, and his might with which he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, aren't they written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? Josh slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat on his throne. Josh was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Now Elijah became sick with the illness of which he died. And Josh, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. Elijah said to him, take bow and arrows. And he took the bow and arrow for himself. He said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Elijah laid his hand on the king's hand. He said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. He said, Yahweh's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Samaria, for you will strike the Syrians in Aphek until you have consumed them. He said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria until you had consumed it. But now you will strike Syria just three times. Elijah died, and they buried him. Now the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. As they were burying a man, behold, they saw a band of raiders, and they threw the man into Elijah's tomb. As soon as the man touched Elijah's bones, he revived and stood up on his feet. Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But Yahweh was gracious to them and had compassion on them and favored them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, and he didn't cast them from his presence as yet. Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Josh struck him three times and recovered the cities of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 14. In the second year of Josh, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amasa, the son of Josh, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in Yahweh's eyes, yet not like David his father. He did according to all that Josh his father had done. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. As soon as the kingdom was established in his hand, he killed his servants who had slain the king his father. But the children of the murderers he didn't put to death, according to that which was written in the book of the law of Moses, as Yahweh commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. He killed 10,000 Edomites in the valley of Salt, and took Selah by war, and called its name Jokthiel to this day. Then Amasa sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let's look one another in the face. Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amasa, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. Then a wild animal that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled down the thistle. You have indeed struck Edom, and your heart has lifted you up. Enjoy the glory of it and stay at home, for why should you meddle to your harm that you fall, even you and Judah with you? But Amasa would not listen. So Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, he and Amasa, king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Beth Shemeth, which belongs to Judah. Judah was defeated by Israel, and each man fled to his tent. Jehoash king of Israel took Amasa king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemeth, and came to Jerusalem, then broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in Yahweh's house and in the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did in his might, and how he fought with Amasa, king of Judah, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam his son reigned in his place. Amasa, the son of Josh, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amasa, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? They made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. They brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in David's city. All the people of Judah took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. In the 15 years of Amaziah, the son of Josh, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Josh, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria for 41 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the sea of Arba, according to Yahweh, the God of Israel's word, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amadi, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. For Yahweh saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter for all, slave and free, and there was no helper for Israel. Yahweh didn't say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under the sky, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, and all that he did, and his might, how he fought, and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which had belonged to Judah, for Israel, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah his son reigned in his place. 2 Kings chapter 15. In the 27 years of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in Yahweh's eyes, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Yahweh struck the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death, and lived in a separate house. Jotham, the king's son, was over all the household, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah, and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in David's city. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reigned over the Israel in Samaria 6 months. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, as his father had done. He didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. Shallum, the son of Jabeth, conspired against him, and struck him before the people and killed him, and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. This was Yahweh's word which he spoke to Jehu, saying, "Your son to the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel." So it came to pass. Shallum, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned for a month in Samaria. Menahem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah, came to Samaria, struck Shallum, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria, killed him, and he reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Shallum and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Then Menahem attacked Tibshah and all who were in it and its border areas from Tizra. He attacked it because they didn't open their gates to him, and he ripped up all their women who were with child. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem, the son of Gadi, began to reign over Israel for 10 years in Samaria. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart all the days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. Pul, the king of Syria, came to in against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. Menahem exacted the money from Israel, even from all the mighty men of wealth, from each man 50 shekels of silver, to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and didn't stay there in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Menahem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah his son reigned in his place. In the 15th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah the son of Menahem began to reign over Israel and Samaria for 2 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, his captain, conspired against him and attacked him in Samaria, in the fortress of the king's house, with Argob and Ariah, and with him were 50 men of the Gileadites. He killed him and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel and Samaria for 20 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel to sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and took Ijon, Abelbeth, Makkah, Genoa, Kedzer, Hazor, Gilead, and Galilee, all the lands of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. Hosea, the son of Eli, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, attacked him, killed him, and reigned in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzzah. Now the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Judah, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerutah, the daughter of Zadok. He did that which was right in Yahweh's eyes. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. He built the upper gates of Yahweh's house. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham, and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In those days, Yahweh began to send Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. Jotham slept with his father and was buried with his father in his father's David city, and Ahaz his son reigned in his place. 2 Kings chapter 16. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He didn't do that which was right in Yahweh his God's eyes, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and even made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations, whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war. They besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At the time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria, and drove the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath, and live there to this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria, and out of the hand of the king of Israel, who rise up against me. Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in Yahweh's house, and in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria listened to him, and the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it, and carried its people captive to Kir, and killed Rezin. King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw that the altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Uriah the priest a drawing of the altar and plans to build it. Urijah the priest built an altar, according to all the king Ahaz had sent him from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it for the coming of King Ahaz from Damascus. When the king had come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king came near to the altar and offered on it. He burned his burnt offering and his meal offering, poured his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offering on the altar. The bronze altar which was before Yahweh he brought from the house, from the front of the house, from between his altar and Yahweh's house, and put it on the north side of his altar. King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, "On the great altar burn the morning burnt offering, the evening meal offering, the king's burnt offering, and his meal offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, their meal offering, and their drink offering, and sprinkle on it all the blood of the burnt offering, and all the blood of the sacrifice. But the bronze altar will be for me to inquire by." Urijah the priest did so, according to all the king Ahaz commanded. King Ahaz cut off the panels of the bases, and removed the basins from them, and took down the sea from off the bronze oxen that were under it, and put it on a pavement of stone. He removed the covered way for the Sabbath that they had built in the house, and the king's outer entrance to Yahweh's house, because of the king of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, aren't they written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? Ahaz slept with his father, and was buried with his father in David's city, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his place. 2 Kings chapter 17. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hosea the son of Elah began to reign in Samaria, over Israel, for 9 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, yet not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Shalazar, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hosea became his servant and brought him tribute. The king of Assyria discovered a conspiracy in Hosea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria seized him and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land, went up to Samaria, and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria, and placed them in Halah, and on the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. It was so because the children of Israel had sinned against Yahweh their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the nations whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Yahweh, and of the kings of Israel, which they made. The children of Israel secretly did things that were not right against Yahweh their God, and they built high places for themselves in all their cities, from the towers of the watchmen to the fortified cities. And they set up for themselves pillars and asherah poles on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense in all the high places, as the nations whom Yahweh carried away before them did. And they did wicked things to provoke Yahweh to anger. And they served idols, of which Yahweh had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet Yahweh testified to Israel and to Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I send you by my servants the prophets." Notwithstanding, they would not listen, but hardened their neck, like the necks of their fathers who didn't believe in Yahweh their God. They rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimony which he testified to them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and followed the nations that were around them, concerning whom Yahweh had commanded them that they should not do like them. They abandoned all the commandments of Yahweh their God, and made molten images for themselves, even 2 calves, and made an Asherah, and worshipped all the army of the sky, and served Baal. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, to provoke him to anger. Therefore Yahweh was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah didn't keep the commandments of Yahweh their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. Yahweh rejected all the offspring of Israel, afflicted them, and delivered them into the hands of raiders, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he tore Israel from David's house, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following Yahweh, and made them sin a great sin. The children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They didn't depart from them, until Yahweh removed Israel out of his sight, as he said by all his servants and prophets. So Israel was carried away out of their own land to Assyria to this day. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, from Cuthah, from Ava, and from Hamath and Seravim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and lived in its cities. So it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they didn't fear Yahweh. Therefore Yahweh sent lions among them, which killed some of them. Therefore they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, "The nations which you have carried away and placed in the cities of Samaria didn't know the law of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they killed them, because they didn't know the law of the gods of the land." Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, "Carry there one of the priests whom you brought from there, and let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the law of the God of the land." So one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and lived in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear Yahweh. However, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities in which they lived. The men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashemah. And the Avites made Nibsah and Tartak. And the Sepharites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharim. So they feared Yahweh, and they also made from among themselves priests of the high places for themselves, who sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared Yahweh, and also served their own gods, after the way of the nations from among whom they had been carried away. To this day they do what they did before. They don't fear Yahweh, and they do not follow the statutes or the ordinances or the law or the commandments which Yahweh commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom Yahweh had made a covenant and commanded them, saying, "You shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But you shall fear Yahweh, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm. And you shall bow yourselves to him, and you shall sacrifice to him the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandments which he wrote for you. You shall observe to do forevermore. You shall not fear other gods. You shall not forget the covenant that I have made with you. You shall not fear other gods, but you shall fear Yahweh your God, and he will deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies." However, they didn't listen, but they did what they did before. So these nations feared Yahweh and also served their engraved images. Their children did likewise, and so did their children's children. They do as their fathers did to this day. 2 Kings chapter 18. Now in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did that which was right in Yahweh's eyes, according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places, broke the pillars, and cut down the Asherah. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, because in those days the children of Israel burned incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in Yahweh, the God of Israel, so that after him was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among them that were before him. For he joined with Yahweh. He didn't depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which Yahweh commanded Moses. Yahweh was with him. Wherever he went, he prospered. He rebelled against the king of Assyria, and didn't serve him. He struck the Philistines to Gaza and its borders, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. In the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Salmanasar, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. At the end of 3 years, they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, which was the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. The king of Assyria carried Israel away to Assyria and put them in Hala and on the harbor, the river of Gozan, in the cities of the Medes, because they didn't obey Yahweh their God's voice, but transgressed his covenant, even all that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded, and would not hear or do it. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities in Judah and took them. Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have offended you. Withdraw from me that which you put on me, I will bear. The king of Assyria appointed to Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in Yahweh's house and in the treasure of the king's house. At the time, Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of Yahweh's temple and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria sent Tartan, Rabsarius, and Rabashak from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great army to Jerusalem. They went up and came to Jerusalem. When they had come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. When they had called to the king, Elikam, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebnah, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Ashaph, the recorder, came out to them. Rabshakeh said to them, Say, now to Hezekiah, the great king, the king of Assyria, says, What confidence is this in which you trust? You say, but they are but vain words. There is counsel and strength for war. Now on whom do you trust, that you have rebelled against me? Now behold, you trust in the staff of this bruised reed, even in Egypt. If a man leans on it, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust on him. But if you tell me, we trust in Yahweh our God, isn't that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah had taken away and has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, You shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore, please give pledges to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horse if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put your trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Have I now come up without Yahweh against this place to destroy it? Yahweh said to me, Go up against this land and destroy it. Then Elikim, the son of Hilkiah, Shebnah, and Joah said to Rabshakeh, Please speak to your servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. Don't speak to us in the Jews' language, in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said to them, Has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words? Hasn't he sent me to the men who sit in the wall to eat their own dung and to drink their own urine with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jewish language and spoke, saying, Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. The king says, Don't let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Don't let Hezekiah make you trust in Yahweh, saying, Yahweh will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah, for the king of Assyria says, Make your peace with me, and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one drink water from his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and of honey, that you may live and not die. Don't listen to Hezekiah when he persuades you, saying, Yahweh will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Amath and of Arphad? Where are the gods of Shepharim, of Hena, and of Ivah? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that Yahweh should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people stayed quiet and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, Don't answer him. Then Elikim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, came with Shebnah the scribe and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder to Hezekiah with their clothes torn, and told him Rabshakeh's. 2 Kings chapter 19. When King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into Yahweh's house. He sent Elkim, who was over the household, Shebnah the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. They said to him, Hezekiah says, Today is a day of trouble, of rebuke, and of rejection. For the children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to deliver them. It may be Yahweh your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to defy the living God, and will rebuke the words which Yahweh your God has heard. Therefore lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Isaiah said to them, Tell your master this, Yahweh says, Don't be afraid of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, and he will hear news, and will return to his own land. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he had departed from Lachish. When he heard it said of Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, Behold, he has come out to fight against you. He sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, Tell Hezekiah, king of Judah, this. Don't let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, by destroying them utterly. Will you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my father have destroyed? Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the children of Eden, who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharim, of Hena and Ivah? Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then Hezekiah went up to Yahweh's house and spread it before Yahweh. Hezekiah prayed before Yahweh and said, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who are enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, Yahweh, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to defy the living God. Truly, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria, have laid waste to the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, Yahweh our God, save us, I beg you, out of his hand, that all the nations of the earth may know that you, Yahweh, are God alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, You have prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and I have heard you. This is the word that Yahweh has spoken concerning him. The virgin daughter of Zion has despised you and ridiculed you. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at you. Whom have you defiled and blasphemed? Against whom have you exalted your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel? By your messengers you have defied the Lord and have said, With the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the innermost parts of Lebanon, and I will cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees, and I will enter into his farthest lodging place, the forest of his fruitful field. I have dug and drunk strange waters, and I will dry up all the rivers of Egypt with the sole of my feet. Haven't you heard how I have done it long ago, and formed it of ancient times? Now I have brought it to pass that it should be yours to lay waste fortified cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were like the grass of the field and like the green herb, like the grass of the housetops and like grain blasted before it has grown up. But I know you're sitting down and you're going out, you're coming in and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me and because your arrogance has come up into my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your hips, in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way by which you came. This will be the sign to you. This year you will eat that which grows of itself, and in the second year that which springs from that, and in the third year sow and reap, and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The remnant that has escaped out of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem a remnant will go out, and out of Mount Zion those who shall escape. Yahweh's zeal will perform this. Therefore Yahweh says concerning the king of Assyria, He will not come to the city, nor shoot an arrow there. He will not come before it with shield, nor cast up a mound against it. He will return the same way that he came, and he will not come to this city, says Yahweh, for I will defend the city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. That night Yahweh's angel went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When men arose in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. So Shechem, king of Assyria, departed, went home, and lived in Nineveh. As he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adrammelech and Shazar struck him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Arat. Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days Hezekiah was sick and dying. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, Yahweh says, set your house in order, for you will die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to Yahweh, saying, remember now, Yahweh, I beg you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the city, Yahweh's word came to him, saying, turn back and tell Hezekiah, the prince of my people, Yahweh, the God of David, your father, says, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you will go up to Yahweh's house. I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Isaiah said, take a cake of figs. They took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what will be the sign that Yahweh will heal me, that I will go up to Yahweh's house the third day? Isaiah said, this will be the sign to you from Yahweh, that Yahweh will do the thing that he has spoken. Should the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go forward 10 steps. No, but let the shadow return backwards 10 steps. Isaiah the prophet cried to Yahweh, and he brought the shadow 10 steps backwards, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. At the time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah listened to them and showed them all the storehouses of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the precious oil, and the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasure. There was nothing in his house or in his dominion that Hezekiah didn't show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to the king Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say? From where did they come from? Hezekiah said, they came from a far country, even from Babylon. He said, what have they seen in your house? Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear Yahweh's word. Behold, the days come that all that is in your house and that which your fathers have laid up in store to this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, said Yahweh. They will take away some of your sons who will issue from you, whom you will father, and they will be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, Yahweh's word which you have spoken is good. He said, moreover, isn't it so, if peace and truth will be in my days? Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made the pool and the conduit and brought water into the city, aren't they written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his place. 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, after the abominations of the nations whom Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he raised up altars for Baal, and made an Asherah, as King Ahab, king of Israel, did, and worshipped all the army of the sky, and served them. He built altars in Yahweh's house, of which Yahweh said, I will put my name in Jerusalem. He built altars for all the army of the sky in the two courts of Yahweh's house. He made his son to pass through the fire, practiced sorcery, used enchantments, and dealt with those who had familiar spirits and with wizards. He did much evil in Yahweh's sight to provoke him to anger. He set the engraved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which Yahweh said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not cause the feet of Israel to wander any more out of the land which I have given their fathers, if only they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they didn't listen, and Manasseh seduced them to do that which is evil, more than the nations did, whom Yahweh destroyed before the children of Israel. Yahweh spoke by his servants, the prophet, saying, Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, and has done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, who were before him, and has he also made Judah to sin with his idols. Therefore Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, Behold, I will bring such an evil on Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it shall, both his ears will tingle. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plumb line of Ahab's house, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will cast off the remnant of my inheritance, and deliver them into the hands of their enemies. They will become a prey and a plunder to all their enemies, because they have done that which is evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other, in addition to a sin with which he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he did, and his sins that he sinned, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Manasseh slept with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, as Manasseh his father did. He walked in all the ways that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he abandoned Yahweh, the God of his fathers, and didn't walk in the way of Yahweh. The servants of Ammon conspired against him, and put the king to death in his own house. But the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? He was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his place. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. He did that which was right in Yahweh's eyes, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and didn't turn away to the right hand or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azalah, the son of Methusalem, the scribe, to Yahweh's house, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which is brought into Yahweh's house, which the keepers of the threshold have gathered of the people. Let them deliver it into the hand of the workers who have the oversight of Yahweh's house, and let them give it to the workers who are in Yahweh's house, to repair the damage to the house, to the carpenters, and to the builders, and to the masons, and for buying timber and cut stone, to repair the house. However, no accounting shall be asked of them for the money delivered into their hand, for they deal faithfully. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in Yahweh's house. Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king's word again, and said, Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of Yahweh's house. Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered a book to me. Then Shaphan read it before the king. When the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. The king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Achbor, the son of Milcah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, Go inquire of Yahweh for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is Yahweh's wrath that is kindled against me, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asha went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her. She said to them, Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, Tell the man who sent you to me. Yahweh says, Behold, I will bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the works of the books which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense to other gods. that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of Yahweh, tell him, Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, concerning the works which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before Yahweh, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that you should become a desolation and a curse, and have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, said Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes will not see all that evil which I will bring on this place. So they brought this message back. 2 Kings chapter 23. The king sent, and they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. The king went up to Yahweh's house, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, with the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in Yahweh's house. The king stood by the pillar that, and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to confirm the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people agreed to the covenant. The king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the threshold, to bring out of Yahweh's temple all the vessels that were made for Baal and for Asherah and for the armies of the sky, and he burned them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. He got rid of the idolatrous priest whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places around Jerusalem. Those also who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, and to all the army of the sky. He brought out the Asherah from Yahweh's house outside of Jerusalem to the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and beat it to dust, and cast its dust on the graves of the common people. He broke down the house of the male shrine prostitutes that were in Yahweh's house, where the women wove hangings for the Asherah. He brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defied the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and he broke down the high places of the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, with which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places didn't come up to Yahweh's altar in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. He defiled Topheth, who was in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance of Yahweh's house by the room of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The king broke down the altars that were on the roof of the upper room of Ahaz, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of Yahweh's house, and beat them down from there, and cast their dust into the brook Kidron. The king defiled the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the mountain of corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon. He broke into pieces the pillars, cut down the Asherah poles, and filled their places with men's bones. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high places which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, even the altar and the high places he broke down, and he burned the high place and beat it into dust, and burned the Asherah. As Josiah turned himself, he spied the tombs that were in the mountain, and he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and buried them on the altar and defiled it, and burned them on the altar and defiled it, according to Yahweh's word, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these things. Then he said, "What monument is that which I see?" The men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things that you have done against the altar of Bethel." He said, "Let him be. Let no one move his bones." So they left his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came out of Samaria. All the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the king of Israel had made to provoke Yahweh to anger, Josiah took away, and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. He killed all the priests in the high places that were there on the altar, and burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. The king commanded all the people, saying, Keep the Passover to Yahweh your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Surely there was not kept such a Passover from the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, the Passover was kept to Yahweh in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah removed those who had familiar spirits and wizards and the teraphim, and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might confirm the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had found in Yahweh's house. There was no king like him before him who turned to Yahweh with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. And there was none like him who arose after him. Notwithstanding, Yahweh didn't turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, with which his anger burned against Judah, because of all the provocation with which Manasseh had provoked him. Yahweh said, I will also remove Judah out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off the city which I have chosen, even Jerusalem, and the house of which I said, My name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, and all that he did, aren't they written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him. But Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo when he saw him. His servants carried him dead in a chariot from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own tomb. The people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him, and made him king in his father's place. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamuthal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, according to all that his father had done. Pharaoh Necho put him in bonds at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the place of Josiah, his father, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. But he took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, from everyone according to his assessment, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebediah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, according to all that his father had. 2 Kings chapter 24. In the days Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. Yahweh sent against him bands of the Chaldeans, bands of the Syrians, bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to Yahweh's word, which he spoke to his servant the prophets. Surely, at the commandment of Yahweh, this came on Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and Yahweh would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. The king of Egypt didn't come out of the land anymore, for the king of Babylon had taken from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates all that belonged to the king of Egypt. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Shuta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, according to all that his father had done. At the time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he, his mother, his servants, his princes, and his officers. And the king of Babylon captured him in the 18th year of his reign. He carried out from there all the treasures of Yahweh's house and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in Yahweh's temple, as Yahweh had said. He carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes, and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. No one remained except the poorest people of the land. He carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, with the king's mother, the king's wives, his officers, and the chief men of the land. He carried them into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the men of might, even 7,000, and the craftsmen and the smiths, 1,000, all of them strong and fit for war. Even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. The king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiachin's father's brother, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamuthal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For though the anger of Yahweh, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of 2 Kings, chapter 25. In the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and encamped against it. And they built fort against it, around it. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine was severe in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. Then a breach was made in the city, and all the men of war fled by night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city around it, and the king went by the way of the Arabah. But the Chaldeans' army pursued the king, and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they captured the king, and carried him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they passed judgment on him. They killed Zedekiah's sons before his eyes. Then they put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him in fetters, and carried him into Babylon. Now in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned Yahweh's house, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. He burned every great house with fire. All the army of the Chaldeans, who were with the captain of the guard, broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of the people who were left in the city, and those who had deserted to the king of Babylon, all the rest of the multitude. But the captain of the guard left some of the poorest of the land to work the vineyards and the fields. The Chaldeans broke up the pillars of bronze that were in Yahweh's house, and the base and the bronze sea that were in Yahweh's house, and carried the bronze pieces to Babylon. They took away the pots, the shovels, the snuffers, the spoons, and all the vessels of bronze which they ministered. The captain of the guard took away the fire pans, the basins, that which was of gold for gold, and that which was of silver for silver. The two pillars, the one sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for Yahweh's house, the bronze and all the vessels, was not weighed. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and a capital of bronze was on it. The height of the capital was 3 cubits, with network and pomegranates on the capital around it, all of bronze, and the second pillar with its network was like these. The captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three keepers of the threshold, and out of the city he took an officer who was set over the men of war, and five of those who saw the king's face, who were found in the city, and the scribe, the captain of the army, who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land, who were found in the city. Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, took them, and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. The king of Babylon attacked them, and put them to death at Riblah, in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away captive out of his land. As for the people who were left in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, governor. Now when all the captains of the forces, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Jonathan, the son of Kareth, Shariah, the son of Tanhumeth, the Netophalite, and Jazanath, the son of the Makalathite, they and their men. Gedaliah swore to them and to their men, and said to them, "Don't be afraid because of the servants of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will be well with you. But in the seventh month, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishma, of the royal offspring, came, and 10 men with him, and struck Gedaliah, so that he died, with the Jews and the Chaldeans that were with him at Mizpah. All the people, both great and small, and the captains of the forces, arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. In the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, Evil-Merodachah, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings who were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. Jehoiachin ate bread before him continually all the days of his life, and for his allowance there was a continual allowance given to him from the king, every day a portion, all the days of his life.